The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
There's a lot going on. They announced the Democratic lineup for the next debate. We'll get into that. The new budget deal puts the final nail in the Tea Party coffin. Also, Ilhan Omar. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Found out yesterday we have about 200 cabins left. That's it. We got about 3,000 people coming with us on this ship. It's going to be a remarkable, remarkable cruise through history. We're going to go to Venice. Then we're going to Athens, Croatia, Dubrovnik, which is the place where they filmed. What was it? King's Landing? Is that what it didn't be? Well, yeah, I'm asking you. Game of Thrones, King's Landing, is that what it was called? You didn't want. All right. I think it was called King's Landing. Anyway, it's a beautiful place. And then we're going to the Holy Land. I hear Jim Caviezel is coming with us. We're going to watch the new film about Operation Underground Railroad with Jim Caviezel. It's a major motion picture coming out next spring. And we'll be one of the first audiences to be able to see it. Bill O'Reilly is coming. Rabbi Lappin, David Barton. We're going to have History Museum there on the ship. It's going to be incredible. Once in a lifetime, only 200 cabins are left. If you've been thinking about it, now is the time to act. Go to comesailaway.com, comesailaway.com, complete, inclusive. You don't have to bring even a wallet. Everything from the airport all the way to the return flight in the airport, everything is covered. So go to comesailaway.com, comesailaway.com.
Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar.
So Ilhan Omar, we have our special on her tomorrow. And, you know, we were trying to find a way to explain this whole marriage between her and her brother. And we had no idea how to do that. We have, I mean, we decided we were going to do it through kind of a, did we name it That 70s Show?
It's a working title.
Working title. The show is tomorrow, you know. We have, because we were going through, it's kind of like All in the Family. It's a little like the Brady Bunch, maybe Gilligan's Island. We're trying to figure out a way because it's a very complex story, but one that everybody needs to understand because, there are some felonies involved here, and the evidence is a little overwhelming. Now, we're going to bring you up to a place to where I think this needs to be going to a grand jury. There's just no way to go past this. At this point, it has to be answered by her, and you know, the FBI needs to be involved if anybody is interested. By the way, while everybody is focusing on the racism of Donald Trump, has anybody noticed what Ilhan Omar has done? She has come out and asked Congress to stop supporting Israel and support the boycott and divestment.
Yeah.
Of Israel.
I love that because people are like, well, one of the big pieces of evidence that she is anti-Semitic is this BDS movement. She's like, let's put it in the law. Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, you're not fighting. I wouldn't say. It's like they're like, oh, well, is Donald Trump racist? He said he wanted that people on the both sides are good people. And then and then people question him about it. He's like, well, you know what? KKK is coming to visit me today. It's like, well, right. Wait a minute. Wait. Whoa, are you?
In fact, we're going to write it into law that they get a national holiday.
Yeah.
What?
Like, okay, all right. I guess they solved that one for us.
Right. Here she is. She says she's not. This is not anti-Semitic. She's just protecting the people, the Palestinian people, from the Israeli occupation. First of all, there's never been a country named Palestine. And the so-called occupation is just the...
Well, there's never been 94 genders either, but that didn't stop anything.
Right. So she says that everybody should boycott Israel. And she says that Jews have hypnotized the world. She has used tropes about, you know, the money-grubbing American Jews.
It sounds so much better with this music in the background.
It does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. With, you know, they have dual loyalties to Israel while spreading conspiracy theories about AIPAC. She says also that the Jews own the Republican Party. And she has also scoffed at the idea that Israel was... even a democracy.
I would laugh at the idea that Jews own the a Republican Party, except for the fact that that would be the typical way Republicans would do it. Like, the Republicans are there, and they still only get, like, 25% of the vote from the group that
that may
runs
be
them.
The evidence. Yes. That may be the evidence that they do it, and they do it kind of crappily and never, ever get any credit for it.
Ilhan Omar.
So our Ilhan Omar update and our special is tomorrow. We ask you to subscribe to The Blaze. If you're already a subscriber, thank you so much. This is going to be a good one. I have a feeling there's a lot of comedy in this one.
There is. And I think it's most useful to people, besides the fact that you get to laugh and probably hear that song again.
And others.
it's almost a musical. It's almost a musical at this point.
It is.
But I think just being able to visually understand what she's being accused of is really important because it's really complicated.
Yeah, and that is honestly why we started with the Ilhan Omar, is because it's so complex. And so we started... You know, we started with one 70s show, and then as we went, we were like, well, it might be more like this 70s show. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to decide by tomorrow. It might be all of the 70s show to try to explain exactly what's happened. Now, I will tell you that Stu claims to have run out of time to act out, be Ilhan Omar as a sock puppet. He claims that... You know, I guess he's used to Shakespeare, where they have weeks and weeks to memorize lines. And so I'm still trying to convince him to play Ilhan Omar as only Stu could play her as a sock puppet. That is on tomorrow's television broadcast. Please sign up for The Blaze right now. You get Steven Crowder, Mark Levin, all of them. There's like 40 now. And you can watch the shows whenever you want. Things are heating up at the Blaze TV. Sign up now. You'll save $10 if you use the promo code Glenn. BlazeTV.com, promo code Glenn. Did you see that AOC has a challenger now?
Yes, I did see this.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have to believe that she's very safe in her particular district till the end of time.
Well.
Maybe not.
Well, the Republican challenger. Now, I understand that you get, you know, you get what you can take at, you know, places like her district. Mm-hmm. But this is the Republican challenger. She admitted to the New York Post that she voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012.
Okay. Well, all
okay. right. Okay. All right. That's happened. You know, there's some...
There are a lot of people who did that. I mean, he won both elections.
Yeah.
You know, you're in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably
mm-hmm.
hard to find mm-hmm. people who didn't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Last June, when Ocasio-Cortez won against the Democratic incumbent, she tweeted, "Congratulations, Alexandria. Queens is headed in a new direction, and it's time for new leadership. Hashtag yes."
Well, I mean, I guess you could say they certainly were headed in a new direction. And now maybe that was just the person saying, look, it's time for new leadership. So like almost like, you know, announcing the campaign, you know, mm-hmm. maybe didn't mean
all right, so
Ocasio-Cortez per se.
So here's, I mean, that would be, you know, you could claim that if it wasn't that she also posted with her congratulations, the CNN article with the headline, 28-year-old Democratic socialist just ousted powerful 10-term congressman in New York.
Okay, yeah, that takes a little bit of the right. shine off of my right. theory there.
Right. Then she tweeted on Friday because people are like, wait, are you really a Republican? She said, well, I was hopeful when AOC won. You know, she took on a Democratic political machine and won, but nothing's changed since. Why? Because she's only been focused on her fame and politics of division and hate. We deserve and expected better. That's why I'm running.
How did you expect better from her?
Right. And hope for what change again? What change?
Real socialism this time, right. not just celebrity socialism?
I really, that's really interesting. So the Republicans are at it again. But the good news is, if you get her in, she's not going to stand in the way of any of these evil Republicans that want to cut spending.
Oh, thank you.
It's so close.
Because they are these fiscal hawks out there. It's whoa. Calm down, guys. Yeah, I mean, we have to have a few dollars to run the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these Republicans.
The cupboard is bare.
Oh, it is.
And
it is.
Oof.
There's almost nothing left, as Nancy Pelosi told us. And we, at the time, I thought disagreed, but apparently not.
Well, we know that Donald Trump doesn't disagree. He believes in debt. He said that in one of the debates, that he doesn't have a problem with debt. He believes in debt. Okay, well,
some debt is okay.
This one increases by $2 trillion by 2021. Another $2 trillion. What are we up to? 22? Are we going to be at 24 by 2021?
Yeah, at least.
That would be good. Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, of course,
If everything goes right.
Remember, we're in a very good economic time.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that we're going into all these deficits when the economy is good might lead you to think there's a problem if the economy gets bad.
Well, the good news is saying that we're spending it on all of our sunny days. What's great is when the rainy day comes, there's going to be so much money in the bank for us to be able to handle it.
Because we're beating many of the deficits from the economic collapse now. We're getting to the point where we're putting up $1 trillion deficits when we're having a great economy with basically full employment.
Yeah.
So if the economy, and I'm sure it's obviously going to be good till the end of time, there's never going to be a downturn.
Never a downturn.
As long as it stays as perfect as it is right now, we'll only have $24 trillion of debt or a little more, plus $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities and more.
Did you hear that Elizabeth Warren is warning now of an economic catastrophe? Elizabeth Warren is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I just...
Because we're spending too much money. I'm sure that's what Elizabeth Warren is concerned about.
Well, she said, I warned about an economic crash for years before 2008, but the people in power wouldn't listen. Now I'm seeing a serious warning sign in the economy again. And I'm calling on regulators and Congress. She bores the snot out of me.
Mm-hmm.
To act before another crisis costs America's families, their homes, their jobs, and their savings. Warning lights are flashing, whether it's this year or next year. The odds of another economic downturn are high and growing. Congress and regulators should act immediately to tamp down these threats before it's too late. Now, she said that yesterday, and boy, do I have some commentary on it, but I thought we'd flip it over to CNN. Now, Stu, I got a gun to your head. I'm going to pull a trigger if you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What do you bet CNN is going to say about Elizabeth Warren and her warning on the economy and that Trump has just let things go out of control?
I mean, with no knowledge on this situation, I would definitely say that they would probably be harsh on Trump because they don't know how to do anything else. I would think that they would blame Trump and say that's why Elizabeth Warren is right.
And seeing that she's a social justice warrior.
Sure.
It's got to be great.
And Elizabeth Warren's solution's got to be wonderful. That's
correct.
How you fix it.
Listen to CNN.
She's proposing some solutions that actually might create another crisis. Now, let me explain each of those.
What?
Number one, she points to several data points that say, you know, the alarm bells should be ringing for a financial crisis. Well, one of the things that she points to is the level of corporate debt. Now, while risky loans to corporations have increased post-financial crisis, the ability for those companies to keep up with payments has also increased. So we're not seeing the kind of default rates that would be alarming at this point. Now, I'm not saying that's not a metric we should be paying attention to. All I'm saying is that Elizabeth Warren is shaping this conversation in a way that's politically convenient for her. Now, as far as her policy proposals, she is recommending lowering rents, offering affordable child care, offering free tuition at colleges. All of that costs money, and the American public should be asking, how do you pay for it? One way would be to increase taxes. Another way is to increase government debt. This is the issue that the American people should be actually focused on, because many experts say if we don't get control of our debt over the next 10 years, we could be facing a fiscal crisis, and that would be extraordinarily harmful to our economy.
I'm sorry. I think you're on the wrong network.
I'll let you in here.
Yeah,
I think it's time you leave, ma'am.
I expected the door of her studio to be broken down and the CNN police come in and just gag her and drag her away. That doesn't make sense to me. Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. You're defending the economy and you're also tearing down socialist policies. Have we all slipped through another wormhole? Are we on yet another Earth where occasionally somebody on CNN says something that just doesn't bash Trump and instead bashes a progressive social justice warrior? I'll get back to you. I'll let you know if she still has a job by the end of the day. Then we'll know. All right, so you got a car. It's got 5,000, 150,000 miles on it. Doesn't matter. You don't have a warranty on it anymore. Yeah, it's 5 years old. When do you think all the parts are going to start running out? Yeah, about the time your warranty runs out. At least that's what it seems like happens on mine. I swear, it's like it's timed. It's like it's got some sort of self-destruct button in the car. When as soon as the warranty runs out, it's like, oh, gee, all these expensive pots, you know, it might be easier just to get a new one. No, I want to drive my car until the doors fall off. CarShield can help you do that. 1-800-CAR-6000. Now, it's done that for me. I've got two trucks that, you know, I really take care of, but I also, they work hard. I've got two of these trucks. They're, what, 2000, maybe 8, and the other one's 2014. And they have long past their warranty. And CarShield has saved me a buttload of hassle and money. Please sign up. All you do is pay it monthly. And then when something happens, you're covered. They have the roadside assistance. They have the rental car. If yours is in the shop, you can take it to the dealership. Doesn't matter. You don't wait for them to pay you. They pay the place directly. It's great. It's carshield.com. Carshield.com. Stop worrying about that repair. 800-CAR-6000. 1-800-CAR-6000. Use the promo code back at carshield.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. Ilhan Omar. I'm excited for tomorrow's show. You?
It's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should burst in with breaking coverage of Robert Mueller's testimony in which he reads from the document he's already printed and handed and distributed to everyone. This will be really fascinating at that time when he says the line that we already heard, but we had to read it last time, and this time he's going to say it. So that's going to be a lot different.
Right.
That is going to be riveting.
Yeah. Remember when he was when he gave his press conference and said, Congress, don't call me to testify because I have nothing new to say. Everything in that report is my testimony. So it's going to be exciting.
It's amazing listening to the political analysts talk about this. They're like, you know, this is going to be a huge moment in Washington. And you know, Robert Mueller has said he's not going to give any new information. But, you know, in today's day and age, it is important for the person who did the report to read from it so that you can, so people can hear it, because they're not going to read the report. It's like, okay, well, I think maybe if there was something in the entire collusion part of it, they'd be more fascinated with it, right? Like, it's the fact that, like, you're saying, well, there's no collusion, but there could have been some things that may have, if people acted in a slightly different way, may have been obstruction of justice. And we want to ask him about that. And he's already said, if you ask me, do I think he's guilty of obstruction of justice, I'm going to say the thing that I said in the report. which is we couldn't clear them, but we couldn't, you know, there wasn't enough there for.
Yeah, but why?
Well, we couldn't clear. There's a 448 page document. I hope, you know, I hope he honestly he does is he takes a copy of the document and he just every time they ask him a question, go, hold on, let me refer to my document. And then just flips slowly through the pages. One, two, three. And then it's like page 271. And then he reads from page 271 the exact paragraph that where he answered the question. I mean, he was thorough. I don't think anyone's saying that he was not. This was not a thorough analysis of the situation. He micro-analyzed every single thing that basically Donald Trump did from 2016 to 2018, and before that, and in some cases. So I don't understand what they think they're going to get out of this. I think they're looking for that viral moment, which is this is the freaking U.S. government. That's running a hearing because they want to get a viral moment where he states something that he's already said.
If I were to be fair, which is still stupid of them to do, but if I were to be fair, I could say maybe what they hope is they see damaging stuff in there. They see damaging stuff, but the American people just won't read it. So we need to put on a little cake and circus show.
That is basically
and
what
they're bring everybody in. And that way, when he says it and it's a cake and circus show, they're really going to be upset. Wow, you think that little of the American people?
Yes, they
As
do.
As I'm saying that, I'm starting to think maybe I do too, to some degree, so.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
It's been a great summer. Summer's all about fun, but it's time to call it a day if you want to keep the heat on the outside. It is so incredibly hot. And I was on a plane this weekend, and they were like, and if you'll, everybody will keep your window shades closed because it gets very hot here on the tarmac. We're like, yeah, I know. Somebody opened up one of the windows, and they're like, please keep the window shades closed. It was amazing. But that thing, I mean, it's just become a furnace with the windows in it. That's the same with your house. If you don't have shade, shutters, or drapes, man, when this sun beams in, you are spending so much money on air conditioning. That's why we don't have any windows in this building, you know? Have no windows, no light, not coming in.
And that's why it's 31 degrees in here today.
I love it. Anyway, if you want to get some blinds to take care of the heat in your house or the cold in the winter, or if you just want to make a big difference in the look of your house, go to Blinds.com right now. Save up to 40% for a limited time. Blinds.com, promo code Beck.
So if you want to get the Ilhan Omar special, it's tomorrow night, BlazeTV.com. Promo code is Glenn. Save $10.
Man, I'm really excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tecovas. I know how ridiculous a great pair of boots can cost. Tecovas makes great boots and accessories. They sell their boots directly to the customer, so their boots are half the price of anything that's even similar in quality. They're all handmade with a 200-step process with only the best materials. Their entire line honors the timeless traditional boot styles. No silly stitching or sequins or loud colors or anything else. These are just great boots like my grandfather would have worn. With Tecovas, there's no need to break them in. They arrive already ready to be worn immediately, comfortably. They're easy to order with tremendous customer service. Tecovas always has free shipping and free returns. Check out their boots and their clothing and accessories right now. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's Tecovas.com/Beck. Forget the political unrest. Forget about, civil disobedience. Forget about the debt, Iran. We brought Pat in to talk about the real issue of the day. Welcome to Pat Gray.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it has to be discussed. Is Tom Brady a good parent or not?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Finally, somebody,
finally, somebody is
addressing this.
Asking the question that must be asked. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, we had last year, you remember this, and I think we disagreed on the kiss with the 11-year-old son. I found it disturbing. I think you were okay with it,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made out for like 15 minutes.
They did not make out. They did not make out.
It was disturbing.
No, it wasn't.
It's like, okay, stop! And now he went cliff diving in Costa Rica with his 6-year-old daughter. Now, this one is pretty scary. This one's a little different because
First of all, why do you post this on Twitter? You're just opening yourself up to it.
Yes,
and whether
I agree
or not
with that.
Tom Brady's cliff dives with his daughter, that's not on my business. Yet he made it my business because
made it my business. He forced
me to take a stand.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because there's a lot of controversy and a lot of discussion. A lot of people are saying, hey, that's a good dad spending time with his daughter doing, you know, unusual death-defying
there are
things.
Times, there are people that take their kids mountain climbing and all kinds of stuff that I would never do.
Never do.
But that's the way their family is.
I would not do this with my kids. But
I wouldn't do it myself.
The jump is what? 15 feet?
It's not that. The jump height isn't as big of a deal as
the rocks.
As the rocks.
The rocks are frightening because if she lands on the rocks, you know, you're badly injured if
not
dead.
He grabbed her.
Right.
Yes, because he grabs her as he's jumping in and he sort of jerks her arm to make sure she clears the freaking rocks.
Yes.
She kind of goes in sideways.
For those who are watching this on Blaze TV, we do have the video.
All right, go ahead and play the video. It's she's standing there before her dad.
Now he grabs her hand and he seems to be talking about what we're going to do. Then he asks her if she's ready, I think. You can't hear it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. And she shakes her head,
Yeah.
Okay.
Now they're ready.
One,
okay, here we go.
Two, three.
And, oh, hesitation! So he has to pull her.
Okay.
He has to jerk her arm and separates her shoulder. And
separates her shoulder. She's swimming.
Breaks a rotator cuff.
She's swimming to him. I think this is if he was like, "You're gonna jump, daddy. I do want to jump."
I don't think it was.
I don't think that was it at all. I think she was like,
"I'll do it." But she's six.
Yes. Okay.
At the moment of actually doing it, it's gonna be
good
different.
Dad. He's a good dad because he did grab her.
Is he? Should he have taken that risk?
Right.
With his daughter?
Well, the risk you're saying once the jump began and
yeah,
she didn't want to jump,
dad,
then
he
was a good dad.
He had to pull her away from sudden death.
Yes.
Yes.
The question is, do you put her in that situation at 6 years old? Now, I would say
stop treating our children like they're complete imbeciles.
Oh, okay. It said treat them like Acme anvils and throw them off of mountains?
No, I didn't say throw them off of mountains.
This is
she
different.
Said, assuming that she said, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. Okay, but here's the thing. You have to jump. You have to jump past those rocks. I know you're capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. You have to jump past the rocks. It's fear that will hurt you. If you have fear, it will hurt you. I'm good, Dad. I'm good. Are you sure? Yes, I'm good. Okay, let's go. She walks out to the cliff. You'll notice she's there first. She walks out to the cliff. I'm good. Are you sure you want to do this? Yes.
I'm sure all that took place.
Right.
But I mean, why take the chance?
Well, yeah. And second,
because he knows he's going to grab her and pull her over in case.
And separate her shoulder and break her rotator cuff.
She did not break her rotator cuff or separate her shoulder.
I will say.
And she's clearly a very good swimmer. She's swimming to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least a swimmer. We don't know that she's a very good swimmer, but she's a swimmer. You skip over a very important part of the parenting there, however, is when your six-year-old says, yeah, I really want to do that, you have an opportunity as a father to say no.
No, it's
and
not
that's
safe.
When you as a father have to know your six-year-old kid and know if they are capable of doing it or not.
And right, and he obviously chose incorrectly and that she didn't want to jump.
How many times? I've got the greatest. Mm-hmm. I have the greatest thing. Of Rafe and I jumping into the pool. George Lang was at our house. Have you ever seen this series of pictures?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
used
I
to have him in our bathroom in New York. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole series of pictures of the two of us running. And he's like, and he must have been about six. And he's like, let's jump in. Let's jump in. And I'm like, okay, I'll beat you. And then whoever gets in first wins. All right. So we're running.
And you're in full clothes. Right?
I'm in my clothes. I'm in a suit.
Yeah.
And so we're running.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so we're running, and we get to the edge. One, two, three. I jump. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's not because he thought it was funny. He just, at the last minute, was like, I'm nervous. I'm not going to jump.
Right. Well, we know that's what happens with six-year-olds, right? That's why yours is not a life.
But there wasn't a rocky cliff you were jumping from.
That's why I didn't grab his arm on the way in.
Right.
And he didn't even move. He didn't hesitate. She hesitated. And I can guarantee you, it's not her just standing there that made him grab her arm. It's the fact that she went and hesitated.
Oh, yeah.
And that hesitation is what will kill you.
Yeah. He had to pull her in. And
he had to.
She basically landed on top
of
him.
Badly hurt.
It could have been really bad.
Why are we even talking this? Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine. And I will say, like, I think.
Would you do that with your daughter? Because she's about that age, isn't she?
Yeah, she's six.
Yeah. Would you do that with her?
No, I would not. Not in that situation.
I wouldn't either.
Just because, like, she's a great swimmer. I mean, she's a great swimmer.
I wouldn't do that with my 30-year-old daughter.
Wait.
All right, honey, let's take your hand. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, now wait a minute. Would you do it if you had a very daredevilish kind of child at six?
No, she is. Because I'm the adult.
She lives. My daughter Ainsley lives life head first. That's how she lives it. And she is a daredevil, and she will do anything.
Would you? Would you take that risk if you were a world class athlete and knew that you could?
Put a hypothetical to a person who can just answer it. Of course, I am.
That's a Canadian world-class sports celebrity.
Yes, thank you.
I forgot.
Glenn.
I mean, look, I
hated Canadian sports celebrity
number one. So the social media thing over here is overblown. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, right? Number two, Tom Brady in every way is a horrible human being, and he should have all of his Super Bowl rings taken away.
He should be in prison for
his football crimes.
And then the Patriots won't have him as quarterback anymore.
I'm fine with all of that.
So you guys are saying you're not biased.
No, we're not biased.
What if he inflated his daughter just a little bit more than she should have been inflated?
He probably did.
The larger lesson here, though, more than anything else, because look, jumping off this clip, is it a great idea? It's one of those things that as soon as I started it as a dad, I'd be like, what am I thinking here? Like, what is the upside of this? Like, she could die.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it was a great decision. That being said, the only real lesson here, though, is if you're thinking, hey, it'll be cute to have this picture, and then it comes out like that, where you have to jerk her arm into the water and she almost lands on your head.
Then don't post it.
Then don't freaking post it.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest about it. You just don't post it, and then you just avoid all this nonsense.
That's the only part
that shows to me that he's just a bad judge of anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you thought, yeah, I'll post this. But again,
what does he carry? He's the perfect life. I mean, guy's got, you know, what, six Super Bowls. Giselle's his wife. He's got unlimited amounts of money. His wife is making more money than he is.
Listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
You take his picture perfect life and you just assume that it's all good. Do you realize how many times he has to drive to the bank?
Yeah, to deposit all that money?
Right.
Oh.
Well,
he might have direct deposit. Maybe he doesn't have to take the trip.
I'm
going to
assume he has direct deposit.
Still, he has to look in. I mean, it's
he
easy.
He does have to look at the account, and there's a lot of numbers there to read.
It's easy when you don't have a lot of numbers or the numbers are small.
Yeah.
He's got to figure out, how much do I have?
How many homes can I buy with all this money?
He doesn't.
Can I get another one?
His life is hell. Think of this.
Uh-huh.
He's a good-looking, eight-time Super Bowl champion?
Six-time Super Bowl champion.
Would have been seven, but the Eagles beat him.
Yeah. So he's got all that going on. And do you know how many good-looking women he has to turn down every day?
Because he's married to one of the most beautiful women in the world.
That's beside the point.
It's interesting. When he started to get with that woman, it wasn't because he was turning away other women from his previous marriage. But that's a whole other story.
We'll just forget that little detail.
Yeah. All right. Tommy, you really shouldn't post anything online.
Right.
You shouldn't post anything.
And I want to say, Pat and I are not biased against him in any way. That's just so clear.
No, I think
nothing to do with the Green Bay Packers one day winning the Super Bowl again.
No, exactly.
Instead of the New England Patriots.
Right, exactly.
I think the audience knows this.
They know.
Yeah, they felt it. Yeah.
I think they did.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for the fair and unbiased reporting on that story. I appreciate it. Somewhere in America, right now, within the sound of my voice, there's a man every day that knows that the days kind of blend into the next one when you're working on the range. The sun rises and the sun sets through a filter of plume dust and the sound of thousands of hooves as God's creatures seek forage. The man most comfortable atop of his horse in this modern age is a man who works hard, works steady, and his eyes never stray too far out ahead of the path that lies before him. To him, the boot is every bit the same importance as the saddle. It's got to be comfortable, has to be durable. It has to be imbued with that sense of purpose. And beyond that, perhaps it has to take on the sense of the age it seeks to protect. Well, Tecovas makes just what that man needs. Just as it was in the time when the boot came from, a handshake is all you need. That's why this man, and many more like me, go to Tecovas for our boots. You know, it takes 200 steps to manufacture a pair of Tecovas boots. They're built to be comfortable right out of the box, handmade with high-quality, full-grain leathers by world-class bootmakers. Tecovas. The boots come in lizard, alligator, some of the world's most exotic leathers. And by selling them directly to you, Tecovas ensures that their product is either half the price of similar boots or twice the quality of a similar priced boot. Check out their site now at Tecovas.com/back. If you're on the range with just a portable transistor radio, you don't have access to the internet, maybe when you get home, go to Tecovas.com/back. Anything leather you might need, you're going to find there. High quality belts, bags, wallets, even great jeans. I know it's strange to order boots online, but it's remarkable how easy and accurate the process is, and they have free shipping and free returns. So ordering them is risk-free. And it's a money-back guarantee. You can just send them back in if it's not right. Again, handshake is all it takes. Tecovas. Find your pair today at Tecovas.com/BECK. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com/back. Walk where you were meant to walk. So Boris Johnson has been elected the Prime Minister now of England, which I think is really exciting.
Not a surprise. He was expected to win relatively easily. He is saying that he could theoretically do the no-plan Brexit, which is something that terrifies many, although I'm not as worried about it. We've listened to Daniel Hannan talk about it, who is the guy on this topic, and he's not all that concerned about it.
Yeah.
It would be great if they can get a deal. I think that's the better outcome. If it's a good deal, you don't just take anything. And the way Theresa May was handling it was basically a take anything situation.
It's pretty amazing. This is their Independence Day, October. What is it? 30th?
31st.
31st. That's their Independence Day. That's their July 4th. We are reclaiming, and we're just one of many, but we're going to stand on our own now.
The world has gotten kind of boring, though. Like, we had founders who were like, in bars, like arguing these things, and then they sign their life away on a document, and then a war breaks out. They're like, well, we'd like to break away from this bureaucracy.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe we won't do it. Maybe we will. Let's see. Like, that's it.
Well,
it's a little less boring.
You got Boris Johnson in there now.
Boris will make it interesting.
Boris will make it very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested to see exactly how he behaves. You know, he wasn't that good of a mayor. But
it didn't work out for the mayor?
No, it didn't work out. I mean, I think he served two terms as mayor. But he is also a conservative, and conservatives are not liked in
London.
In London.
It's
like in New York, You're not really going to hide. You're not going to put George Bush as the mayor of New York.
It's interesting, to his career, basically, the reason people know who he is he was a journalist who covered kind of like the EU situation, right? European affairs, basically. And he was accused many times of just blatantly making up quotes that weren't even real.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to at times admitted it, just being like, it's like a little, like it was the general vibe of the situation. Like, well, but this person doesn't exist. Yeah, but it was the general, you know what I'm saying. And like, people are just like, oh, okay, well, he's got kind of messed up blonde hair. It seems like nice.
He kind of has the Donald Trump effect, that he can kind of get away with stuff because, he strangely, even though he's from the upper crust, he strangely relates to the average everyday working guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Donald Trump. I know the report says this, but they mean this differently. He has a golden shower. He has an actual shower that's gold.
It's the only kind of golden shower Donald Trump's getting.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and yet the people who are, lower middle class, they relate to him. where Hillary Clinton was upper class and nobody related to her. He's kind of still a man of the people. Same thing with Boris Johnson, even though he went to Oxford and everything else.
Oh, gosh, you have to think that the Democrats every once in a while have to stop and think to themselves, what were we doing? I mean, they basically ran Hillary Clinton unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just handed her the nomination for the mm-hmm. presidency. And here is someone who is one of the most unpopular figures in American politics. And they're like, yeah, just give it to her. Because she finished second last time to that guy we had no idea who he even was. Like, why on earth did they do that? Like, Bernie Sanders he's not even a Democrat. He's an independent. He gets in there and wins 45% of the vote or whatever it was. They just handed it to her. They ran no one against her. That is that will be looked back in the history books as fascinating.
Let's see who they run this time. It may be a repeat.
Yeah, very well.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
You can find more top stories at theblaze.com. I'm Hillary. That's your 4 minute buzz. And now here's Glenn Stu with the second hour of our show.
Welcome to the program. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's American Financing. American Financing. Home buying season is upon us, and real estate conditions are looking excellent for most of the country, and equity is on the rise. Rates are low. Prices are affordable. Your dream home is within reach, whether it's your first home, your next home, or your forever home. And in just 10 minutes, you can start the pre-approval process. May I recommend American Financing? I've known them for years. I trust them to serve my family and trust them to serve yours. They're family owned and operated and receive stellar ratings from customers just like you. You'll work with knowledgeable professionals who are salary based. They're genuinely in it for you. No upfront fees, custom loans, and fast closings. This is the way they do business. Take advantage of today's real estate market. Prices have stabilized. Inventory is good. Now may be the best time to buy a home. What are you waiting for? Call right now, AmericanFinancing.com. .net. AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net. America's home for home loans.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Are you woke enough? Are you woke enough to wax male body parts on a guy who is claiming to be a woman? I'm trying to be...
You're having a little issue.
I'm having
here,
an
Mr.
issue
Broadcaster?
Here. I'm trying to.
You know, aren't you nominated for the Radio Hall of
Fame
this year?
We're talking about things that I've never, in 40 years of broadcast, ever had to talk about waxing a guy's. And here we are. We do that in 1 minute.
Can you submit this to the Hall of Fame
for don't,
this
no.
is the
consideration?
Glenn Beck
Program. Don't think so. People are asking if the X chair is really as comfortable as we say it is. I want to tell you something. I don't advertise things. I don't want to advertise. I don't advertise things because of the money. I take the advertising because I believe in it. If I'm voicing it, if I'm telling you about it, I've used it or I approve of it, and I've seen it in action. The X chair, I'm sitting in it right now. Believe me, I would not be sitting. You would never know what chair I'm sitting in. If this wasn't really as comfortable as I said, I would not be sitting in it. Sitting in it every day for 3 hours. What a nightmare that would be. Stu's sitting in it now. He thought it was comfortable in the factory settings. Then I showed him last week how to set it, and he said, even better than I thought.
I think it's important when you go to a new pizza restaurant to get your first slice of cheese. So you get a basis of understanding how good the pizza is, and then you can start piling on toppings.
Right.
That's my theory.
Well, you
the
are
XJ.
A connoisseur of those kinds of things. So check it out for yourself. They have a money back guarantee right now. X Chair is on sale for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. 1-844-XCHAIR if you want to call them. 1-844-XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com. Go there now, and when you order, use the code X Wheels, and you're going to receive a free set of the new X Wheels with your X Chair. They have the X Basic or X1 through X4. They have the chair that will fit your body and your budget. It's xchairbeck.com. Stu, would you just do me? Let's just make this into like a Mad Lib, and you just take random words that you have, and you fill in.
Okay.
Blank, okay.
Sure.
All right. You got it?
Sounds great.
Female waxer who has declined now to handle a male. That's where you fill in any just any word. Okay. A female waxer who declines to handle male
berries.
Well, there's more than just the berries.
Twigs and berries.
Twigs and berries mm-hmm. could face legal consequences. At least this might soon be possible in the woke insanity, otherwise known as Canada. This comes from a recent British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal hearing. I don't like the word tribunal. Doesn't that sound like it's like you're in real trouble? You know, going to court's one thing. A tribunal hearing?
Right.
Sounds like you a gulag.
Maybe committed some genocide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jessica Yaniv brought a complaint against Marcia Da Silva, a woman who runs a waxing service from her home. Complicating matters, Yaniv, despite identifying as a woman, sports the full package of male...
Two oranges and a banana. I don't.
I was hoping that you would, you know, come up with something a little less graphic.
Oh, okay. But this yeah. is, well, you were not clear of the rules of this game.
Just said pick some random words and just okay, to throw it. Them mm-hmm. in there. According to the Toronto Sun, Yaniv responded to an advertisement Da Silva posted on Facebook and sought out Da Silva's waxing services. However, upon learning that Yaniv retained her
junk. This is much better, right? You wanted to.
Da Silva said that she was no longer comfortable performing the waxing as she only offered female waxing services and not services on male
hoo-has.
I have no problem with the LGBT people, Da Silva said. In fact, she was willing to offer waxing services for a transgendered woman who had lopped off the.
So had the okay, lopped the invading reproductive organs.
No, this is.
Because that person didn't want those organs.
Just,
and so they were invading. They're invasive. Okay. There was like an invasive species and, that attacked them at birth.
And now has mm-hmm. a female. See, you're suck at this.
Oh, I suck at
just
this.
Just open up a book. Just open up a book. Just open up. There's a book over there. Just open up a book and just start grabbing words. Just any word.
First time that Tim Alberta's new book is used in this way. I believe, at least.
All right. Her waxing services for transgendered women who had undergone reassignment surgery and had lost their...
Romney.
Now, see, this works.
That's fucking much better.
To the average outsider, this seems a perfectly reasonable response. To the woke identitarian left, it's an act of bigotry. Yaniv charged that Da Silva was discriminating against her on the basis of her gender identity. Mm-hmm. Such discrimination is barred under Canadian law. During the hearing, Yaniv even compared Da Silva's refusal to wax her...
Boehner.
As
an unfortunate one, it didn't work out well. But it's in the book.
As an act of neo-Nazism. Mm-hmm. Naturally, comedians and parody accounts filled the day. So here is the here's the problem. She said, on another level, this is no laughing matter.
Mm.
While yes, wax my
priebus
bigot. Case is just one isolated incident, but it shows how the identitarian left has rapidly advanced from pursuing equality, which involves the freedom from oppression, to seek the justice and version of justice, which includes the freedom to force your views or yourself on more literally onto others. This version of social justice poses a threat to a free society. If Yaniv could have gone to a waxing service, that accepted both the male
Bannon
and the female
Kushner.
Or even
it could be a Bannon. It's actually go ahead. They sound those words.
Or even bought it a do-it-yourself at home kit. She didn't. Instead, she relentlessly pursued this case to try to browbeat her fellow citizens into submission. Okay, so now here's the problem. You know, anybody who, you know, said, oh, they can just make a wedding cake. Now you're having to also handle the man's Boehner. and is that right? Do you have a right to say no?
How can you not have a right to say no to touch another person's genitals? Isn't this the Me Too party? You're going to force women to touch male genitals because of some ridiculous corner you've backed yourself in on wedding cakes. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, but if you believe that someone should be forced to write words on a cake, then you absolutely have to go along with this. Absolutely. It's a completely consistent.
And isn't it strange that you have to get permission to touch someone's genitals? They can take that permission away or say, I didn't give you permission, and then it's sexual harassment and you're in trouble. But you can't say no to touching someone's genitals if they are asking you and paying you money as part of your job.
It seems almost mildly inconsistent, I think, is what you're getting at.
It does.
It does. But I mean, I really don't understand how you disagree with it. Like, there is, you can make the, there's some sort of like, well, that seems like it's crossing the line argument, but you don't have a, you don't have an actual consistent moral argument, I don't think there. I mean, look, the easy way here is to err on the side of individual freedom, which we do in this country. In Canada, you know, it's not their gig, right? Like, that's not they don't have the constitution that we have. They don't have the founding that we have. So you expect things like this to happen in Canada, but that one's coming here.
Now, don't you think that maybe feminists would want to stand up for some, I mean, be frank with you. I mean, once you've had the reassignment surgery.
Oh, Franks and Beans. That's a good one.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, once you've had the Franks and Beans removed, mm-hmm. You're still the same gender. You're still a guy on the inside. You're still a guy. However, you know, you've committed to it.
Yeah, you've at least
somebody who comes in and says, you know, I want my meat and vegetables polished. That's not. I mean, you're telling feminists are telling women you got to do that.
Right. And you know what? What's funny about it is the reason why they have to be consistent on this and say, yeah, you got to go up, you know, the Franks and Beans are there. You got to go do it on the Franks and Beans is because for their worldview to have any level of consistency, they can't admit that that's a man. They have to say that that is a woman on the table with the Franks and Beans.
Do you think they care about consistency? Or is it just forcing people to comply? In all ways, force people right. to comply.
Oh, I think that's part of it. But I mean, if you have to admit something that fundamentally they can't admit. They can't admit that this is not a girl. This is a boy. This is not a man. This is a woman. They can't say that this is one gender. They have to act as if it's real, right? That's the foundation of this entire issue, is all of these conversations revolve around this premise that something we all know is not true must be we must pretend that it is true, and if we all pretend that it is true, maybe it will become true.
But
that's won't. Not how the world works.
No,
that is not how things happen. We can all say, hey, we really care about the national debt. But you know what? We don't. Surprise, surprise. We don't care at all. And I think it's one of those situations where there are certain things that test these realities. And it's the only way I think you push back on it, honestly. Like, you know, the sports thing is another one of them.
You know, when your 16-year-old daughter gets destroyed by a 16-year-old boy in a race that she's worked really hard for, parents tend to get pissed off about it. When your 24-year-old daughter works at a waxing place and is waxing guys Franks and beans every day because some activist is telling you that they're not Franks and beans or that women can have Franks and beans, that is a situation where it tends to test people's patience with your little story.
Things tend to break down like they're breaking now. Right now, the Democrats are pushing these ideas so hard, and they are starting to be in, they're starting to leave the classroom and actually be dealt in every person's house. They're dealing with it now in everybody's house. And we're all coming home with our kids going, wait a minute, what are they teaching you? Wait a minute. Who was there in the library? Wait a minute. They asked you to wax what? It's starting to happen. Mm-hmm. And people are, here's why it has gotten out of hand so far, is just like political correctness. Nobody wants to hurt anybody else's feelings. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings. And if that's what makes you feel better, fine, I'll do it. But when push comes to shove and I've got to testify or I have to tell it to my children or I have to whatever. No. Wait. You can live your life that way. And I'll tolerate it, and you'll tolerate me leading my life. And we're not going to say bad things to each other, but I'm not teaching my children that your thinking is right or even healthy in some regards.
And it's moments like this where you know that they don't even believe it, right? If you're fighting back against a woman and that because she has to wax a part she doesn't want to do.
Where's your feminism?
Yeah, you're admitting it. You're admitting that you don't actually believe these things. You're just saying them over and over again and trying to get people fired from their jobs if they say the opposite or getting deplatformed if they say the opposite.
Now, this Franks and Beans story is happening in Canada, but let me show you what's happening here in America in 1 minute. Somewhere in America right now, within the sound of my voice, there's a man who did everything right. He married a woman he loved. He married young, that fabled high school sweetheart, set upon the path of American righteousness. Every day he went to his job and he wore the right clothing. He worked hard. He was the best employee he could be. Every night he came home to his growing family, his children that he loved. He worked hard to balance the ambition and the drive he had in his career with the love and the care that they needed from him and he wanted to give. In the end, it all panned out. But now, he's at home, and he's still working hard. He's 50, and the kids are blazing their own trails in the world. And because he works so hard, he's maybe earned an early retirement. It's on the horizon. And unlike those who can't stand a thing like that, he embraces it. No more stuffy suit, no more cramped office, no more meetings about nothing. Nowadays, it's just jeans and a t-shirt for him, and a pair of good quality, comfortable, yet affordable boots. You know, it takes 200 steps to manufacture a pair of Tecovas boots. They're built to be comfortable right out of the box, handmade with high quality, full grain leathers by world-class bootmakers. It's Tecovas boots. Tecovas. Start a company started right here in Texas. They come in lizard, alligator, some of the world's most exotic leathers. By selling them directly to customers, Tecovas ensures that their product is either half the price of similar boots or twice the quality of a similarly priced boot. Check out their site, Tecovas.com/Beck. Tecovas.com. Any leather that you need, anything at all, they'll have it. You'll find it there. High quality belts and bags and wallets and even great jeans. Those aren't in leather. Those are just, you know, American denim. I know it's strange to order boots online, but it's remarkable how easy and accurate their process really is. They have free shipping and free returns, so ordering is risk-free. It's Tecovas. Great boots that feel great at a great price. Tecovas, TECOVAS.com/Beck. Tecovas boots. 10 seconds, station ID. Now, Before I get to America, there is one more part of the Twigs and Berries story from Canada.
Jessica Yaniv. She's scheduled to appear before the Township of Langley Council in British Columbia, Canada, to ask for permission for all body swims at three community pools where individuals, including girls as young as 12, will be permitted to be topless. Mm. Swim is for kids who identify as LGBTQ2S+. Q, queer, two spirit. Is 2S two spirit or maybe. Is S something else?
I don't know. Maybe it's 2S. I thought it was two was by itself, but
I thought so too. And then 2S plus.
Snake.
Because, I mean,
identifies
if you're going to use a plus, it's a cop out, right? Just call it plus or yeah. L plus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got that and all the other ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, she is going to make sure it's a safe and inclusive environment for 12-year-olds to be topless. So, you know, again, it's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a good idea. 12 and up.
Says the man who can't get his junk waxed.
Did you just say the man?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. All right. Let me talk to you about America.
I mean, a man is scheduling topless 12-year-old swimming pool adventures.
But he identifies as a woman.
Right. But he identifies as a woman. So people are going to be like, oh, okay, sure. Just again, clear where we stand here. How are we doing in America, Glenn?
Well, in America, we have something called the Equality Act. The Equality Act.
Mm-hmm.
By adding gender identity as a protected classification in new federal civil rights law, it is going to be used by activists, or could be used, to legally harass women who don't want to, you know, do things like, I don't know, wax male junk. Regardless of whether those male private parts are attached to people who identify as a man or a woman. This is the case now in Canada, but it is not about waxing. This is about business and individuals using their religion and their culture to refuse service to protected groups because they don't agree with it or the person, and use that to illegally discriminate contrary to the British Columbia Human Rights Code and the Canadian Human Rights Code. Now, that's what they claim, that this is just about your bigoted religion or you personally don't like someone and so you won't do it. The Equality Act will have sweeping effects on girls' sports. The bill will require schools to include male athletes who identify as transgendered girls on female sports team. Male athletes in recent years have wrapped up victories in female athletics. The Republican-controlled Senate is unlikely to hold a vote on the bill. However, Susan Collins, the only GOP co-sponsor in the Senate, and all of the Democratic presidential candidates have lined up in support of the bill, promising to make its passage a top priority if elected. Look up the Equality Act. We have to do a special show on that in the coming weeks. It will change everything in America. Literally change everything in America. Congratulations. That's what we have if we don't stand firm in our ideas and ideals.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
My Pillow. Mike Lindell actually got me fitted for my very own My Pillow, and I never thought you needed to be fitted for a pillow. But apparently it is the inches that are between your ear and your shoulder as you lay down.
Oh, it's vital. If you ever go to a hotel and they have those freaking pillows where your head just goes like through the pillow right to the bottom.
Oh, it's awful.
What is the point of those? Those are not pillows.
You have to fold them. It's like it's
10 times over.
It's like a club sandwich by the time you're done. You just keep folding them and stacking them. There are those flatter pillows. And then there is the big thick pillow. I have the big thick pillow. I tried the flat one and I hated it. But I needed the big thick one because I got a big thick head. I love this pillow. I used to like have to roll over and fluff it and everything else. You don't have to do that. Now they're $34.99 per pillow. You can get two two MyPillows for $69.98, but the offer only is happening now at 800-966-3117. Use the promo code BACK or go to MyPillow.com, promo code BACK.
BlazeTV.com, promo code Glenn for $10 off. Get the Ilhan Omar special. It airs tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Ilhan Omar, I'm excited. It's a special show tomorrow. We call it our Ilhan Omar 70s show. That 70s show. We're not sure which 70s show she's living. But if you Google Ilhan Omar, it's not going to come up with married to her brother. Google is taking care of that. It'll come up with Ilhan Omar husband, and it shows both husbands. But what it also shows, it has immediately her husband's, and then the first story is unproven allegations that Ilhan Omar married her brother. Explained. Well, we're going to explain them on The Blaze tomorrow at 5 o'clock. It's a show you don't want to miss. We're trying really hard to not make this into a total comedy show, because it's ridiculous to explain. And the only way we can explain it is through 70s sitcoms. So we're going to do that on tomorrow's show at 5 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. One, you can watch with the whole family. Subscribe now to blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. That's blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. Tomorrow, 5 p.m. Don't miss it.
Ilhan Omar.
Alexander Hammond, we had on yesterday, and we wanted to touch base with him quickly here. Boris Johnson was elected. He's the new prime minister. Welcome, Alexander.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me. Yes, he has done it. He is now, or tomorrow, he will be walking to number 10 Downing Street as the new prime minister to the UK.
You know, that's one thing that we also don't do. We have like several months in between, but you guys go through these people like water.
We just get right to the point, Glenn. Yeah. He's won 66% of the vote. He's got a clear consensus to enter and become our next prime minister, and he'll do so soon.
Okay, so how he gets along with Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, so a few years ago, he maybe said not so nice things about Donald Trump. However, since Trump's been elected and since he's been in more senior positions, the rhetoric's been far nicer. Earlier today, once it was announced that Boris will be the next prime minister, Trump tweeted him saying that he will be a great prime minister. Similarly, Ivanka Trump shared the sentiment. However, she said he'll be a great prime minister of United Kingdom. A bit of a spelling error there, but that's okay. Still the same sentiment is being held. So, yeah, they get on. And I'm seeing across so many commentators today, across Twitter and everywhere else, are saying how similar these two men are. However, I couldn't disagree more. I think they're fundamentally opposed in so many different ways.
In what
way? That idea that they're the same. Well, firstly, Boris Johnson, he ran the Brexit campaign on the idea of creating more free trade to open the UK up to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Trump, I feel, has more protectionist sentiments in regards to his trade wars. Brexiteers wanted a trade deal with China. Trump wanted a trade war with them.
Okay, so hang on. Let me answer these as you go along. I agree with what you just said. You're absolutely right. However, Trump won because there was this feeling from the people that nobody in government was listening to the people, and they were sick and tired of it, and that's what put him into office. Kind of the same thing. Nobody was listening to the people on Brexit, and they got sick and tired of it.
Okay, sure. So I agree that perhaps the sentiment behind people feeling disenfranchised and angry with the government did propel both Brexit and Trump. However, mm-hmm. the rationale behind both votes were completely different. It was, for example, Boris Johnson is pretty pro-immigration, for example, too. He mm-hmm. favors the Australian point-style system, which basically sees immigrants fill our country depending on the skills they have and our current shortages in our economy. Whereas Trump, I think, is far, far more different on that.
I think Trump would. I think Trump would be okay with if we had a point system. We don't have a point. We have no system now. You just come on in. You're like, hey, I like the red in your flag, and so I'd like to come in, and we let you in. You don't have to have anything to be let in.
Okay, Glenn, I've got you on this final point. So Boris Johnson, he is a classical scholar. He is a historian. You mentioned yesterday how you read his book on Churchill.
Yes.
He often uses utterance from great ancient philosophers in his speeches. He does that all the time. Whereas I don't think we can apply the same intellectual rigor to Trump's speeches.
If you believe,
in the same way they come across.
If you wish to dismiss the ancient wisdom of fortune cookies, you may be right.
They're definitely not the same person.
No.
I mean, there's definitely differences, and the trade thing is one of the biggest issues. I think the difference with trade in that. Like, you know, Daniel Hannan, I thought, was a great voice for Brexit and that he constantly emphasized wanting to open up free trade to the world. And that's definitely not what Trump ran on, though I will say it's a low priority issue, I think, for most American voters. It's just it's not something that I don't know that Trump got elected because of his trade position.
No,
he got more elected. I think, you know, some people really liked it. Some people really hated it. But they saw it as like it's way down the list and it was not a top priority. Where Brexit, really, that was a big focus.
I don't know. Settle this for us, Alexander. Because I would say that the trade thing was probably bigger for the politicians and the elites. But it was the cultural things and the immigration standards and the living up to rules that weren't coming from England that was the main force and driver behind Brexit. Which one is accurate or more accurate?
So I think the trade aspect is really crucially important. Hmm. And unlike with Trump, where you say it is more of a minority issue, for Brexit, on every single thing all the Brexiteers did, it was so we could create a free and open global trading Britain. That's what they said.
Was that what the people were saying? For instance, you could say that Donald Trump, and I don't believe this to be true at all, Donald Trump is a racist that just doesn't like Mexicans. You could say that. You could say that all you want, and that's what you're fighting against. But you wouldn't really be fighting against something that was real, because what the people are saying is, we want to know who's coming across our borders, and we'd like it to be controlled. There's nothing wrong with Mexicans or anybody else from Honduras. It's just we want to make sure that this is a controlled entrance. So are the political elite having that conversation about trade, but the people are saying, no, it's more visceral than that. It's about my heritage, my culture, my country.
Yeah, sure. So following when we did the Brexit referendum on the 23rd of June 2016, all the exit polls that persuaded the Leave voters showed the biggest issue was the diplomatic side, the fact that laws were being made in Brussels with very little say from the UK members of parliament and how unelected officials were creating our laws. So that was the biggest. And then beneath that, I would say then trade and immigration come into the picture.
Sovereignty is really, I mean, it encompasses all of these issues.
Yeah.
Because trade policy is part of it and immigration policy is part of it.
And I think that's what we feel here in America. Remember, we're a collection of states. We're the union of states, and we're feeling the loss of our sovereignty as states, not the same. We've lost it a long time ago compared to you guys, but we still feel that loss of individual sovereignty. So let me ask you this. You had a British ship taken by Iran. Our Department of State issued a statement, said, you know, Great Britain can take care of their own, issues. So it's not something that involves us. How is Boris Johnson when it comes to war? Donald Trump is not a hawk when it comes to war at all. But he is at least a tough talker. Where's Boris Johnson?
So I'd say Boris Johnson is quite similar in the sense that he doesn't want to be invading Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan anytime soon. He is similarly cautious about ground intervention the same way Donald Trump is. And when he was foreign minister a foreign secretary of the UK between 2016 and 2018. That's when the Russian spy incident in Salisbury happened, when Russian agents were caught using poisonous materials on UK soil and accidentally killed a member of our public. And he was foreign secretary at the time. And instead of trying to jump to military action or any sense, he gathered the nations of the world and, in a joint effort under his leadership, expelled spies. He got every nation to expel spies from their country. Mm. And he was more pushing for sanctions on Russia as opposed to any military intervention, which is, I think, is definitely wise and in a similar category to Trump.
Yeah, I think that's good. Okay, Alexander, thank
you. Wait, hold on. One more question before you go, Alexander. So what I keep reading is, if Johnson comes in and tries to do a no-deal Brexit, they will wind up being very upset with him and then call for a new general election, and this whole thing could be changed again. How does, because I do not understand the scope and the nuance of the parliamentary democracy
system.
Yeah,
let me boil it down to this. You all seem to have a stick up your butt when it comes to, you know, walking around and, oh, tea time. And then once you close the doors, you have somebody, order, order, close the doors, and you just wail on each other. What's the deal, dude?
Well, yeah, you're talking about John Burke, okay, the Speaker of the House of Commons, who is famous.
Whoa.
He shouts order all the
time.
So it would be, if a general election is called, it would be because Boris Johnson himself calls it. And the reason he would do that is so that he can get more conservative members of parliament into the government. And what that would mean is he has a greater mandate to pursue Brexit, because at the moment, the conservatives are in power, but they're in power just by a little bit. We're in a minority government being propped up by other parties. So a general election could be called so that conservatives get a bigger proportion of the vote, and that would give him the power to more easily pursue a no-deal Brexit.
And let's just say they go in there and they just fight with each other and they can't come up with any deal, they can't come up with anything. Does it just automatically go into effect, a no-deal Brexit, on the 31st?
Yes, the default setting in law is that we're leaving on the 31st of October, and the only way they could overcome that is if a new law is created. But Boris Johnson and his cabinet, will likely be Brexiteers who have committed to the no-deal deadline, will have to sign it off.
So why would he call for a general election that he could lose if he could just wait and let Brexit go through?
Well, it would basically give him more legitimacy and a bigger mandate in the Houses of Parliament, to push forward his agenda, as opposed to creating more of an uproar than it would otherwise.
And do you think he would win that?
I think he would. So between 2008 and 2016, he was mayor of London. And London is a pretty far-left liberal city. And it had Ken Livingstone, who was essentially a Marxist, grain to Jeremy Corbyn. And he managed to defeat him by a huge margin. And in the UK, in the European elections, which were held in May, the Brexit Party won a huge proportion of the vote. They won 31% of the vote, whereas Conservatives under the Remainer, Theresa May, only won 9%. So what Boris Johnson basically represents is he can unite the Brexit vote to be able to defeat Jeremy Corbyn, because he will unite all of the people who voted for Farage, because he stands on the same policies pretty much in regards to Brexit. Mm-hmm. Whilst he maintains the Conservative vote, which should keep Jeremy Corbyn out of power, because both the Brexit Party and the Conservatives definitely don't want a Marxist in government, and rightly so.
Yeah. Corbyn is bad news. Alexander, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Bye-bye. Alexander Hammond, he is from Young Voices. You can find him at Young Voices. USCCA has another great offer this week. This is your last chance to win a gun that revolutionized the firearms world. The United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you 19 chances to win $1,000 to buy a brand new Glock 19. All you have to do is just text the word BECK to the number 87222. Do it right now. For info and rules, go to protectanddefend.com. Confirmation text is going to be sent. Standard message and data rates apply. The Glock 19 is a thing of beauty. It is a high-tech polymer frame, makes it lightweight, makes it comfortable. It is renowned for being highly customizable, durable, and reliable. I wish I was a better shot with a Glock. You know, when you first start firing a gun, you better like that gun, because you'll get good on that gun. And then, I don't know, is anybody else good at two guns? Because I'm not. I'm good at the SIG, and I really like the Glock, until I bought my brand new SIG, which I can tell you about some other time. But I just could not get good at the Glock. Couldn't. But people who have always carried a Glock, they're great at it. Anyway, if you love Glocks, this is the chance, or if you won your first gun, 87222 right now. Lock in your 19 free chances to win one. Just text the word Beck to 87222 right now. Lock in your entries before it's too late. Do you remember Joe the Plumber?
Yeah.
And what was the problem with Joe the Plumber? What was it that Obama said to Joe the Plumber that made Joe the Plumber so famous?
Gosh, was that the you didn't build this maybe? Or what?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
It was before that. Well, something else has been said. This one by Tlaib. Listen to this.
So recently I introduced the Boost Act. This legislation completely repeals the GOP tax scam that is only helping wealthy individuals, the rich, the corporations. And do you know what I did with that money? Do you know what I said? Mm-mm. We're going to go ahead and put it into the pockets of folks like everyday Americans. If you make less than $100,000, you're going to get up to $6,000 in your pocket. And if you make less than $50,000, you're going to get $3,000. That's what we do with our public dollars. We give it back to the people that earned it.
But wait. If you make less than $50,000, you're most likely not paying any taxes.
You're going to take the money from rich people and their taxes to the people who earned it?
The rich people apparently earned it. Or are you deciding who's worthy of money? More on this coming up.
I'm Hillary. That's your 4 Minute Buzz. And now here's Glenn and Stu with the final hour of the show.
Thanks so much. Our sponsor this half hour is realestateagentsitrust.com. Over 1,000 active agents strong. 5,000 are waiting on a list to be approved to be a part of the our realestateagentsitrust.com family. We named the company realestateagentsitrust.com for a reason, because I'm recommending agents to you. And so they have to have a high sense of urgency. They have to be professional at all times. They have to return calls, do what they say they promise to do. They have to be experts in evaluating the value of the homes in their market. They have to exemplify the truth lives here. I think that's really important. And they also have to have a long track record of performance and success. There are no part-time agents or agents who have poor history. This is my company. I'm recommending these agents, and I'm telling you, these are real estate agents I trust. So you can use them and tell your friends, here's some real estate agents I trust. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and get your home sold fast for the most amount of money. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
I want to show you how far we have slipped. Anybody says it's a slippery slope.
Oh, I don't believe in a slippery slope.
Well, really? That's what progressivism is. Just keep taking one step closer and closer. A slippery slope into what? The goal of progressivism is authoritarianism. They may not call it that, but that's what it is. Bureaucracy that handles everything, because the bureaucracy will be smarter than you. Well, how far down the slippery slope have we gone? I'm going to show you a mile marker that you probably have forgotten about, and then show you today's mile marker. And I want you to notice the difference in reaction from then and now in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, Elizabeth Warren came out yesterday and she said, I feel there's a correction coming. There's a catastrophe coming. And for the first time, the liberal media bashed her. Interesting, isn't it? They bashed her for saying, you know, whether it's this year or next year, it's going to come. And she said, I warned about 08. And, you know, and when that came, you know, everybody, it was too late to do anything about it. So we got to do something about it now. Now, unfortunately, as CNN strangely pointed out, it's her policies that would do a lot to destroy the economy of America. And it's the policies of those who might win power. They're talking about the dismantling of the free market. If this happens, it is all bets are off globally. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But if Trump does win, stays the course, we still are going to have a downturn. Why? Because it's cyclical. We are in the longest recovery in American history. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But it is going to come down. So when it does, is it going to be a hard crash or a soft landing? Well, you saw the last one, and I think we're repeating many of the mistakes. You know, there's not the housing market in New York that's the problem. It's now the taxi cab medallion market. The banks, when they couldn't make money on the housing market, money hand over fist, they decided to do it with the taxi cab medallion market. And that thing's about to crash. That can just take a major city and major banks and tube them. What does that mean? Well, you know what? Once you are prepared, you don't really have to worry about it. You know, you have a lot of the pressure off. Do you have gold or silver? Please diversify. I'm not telling you to put everything in. I'm saying 10%. Take 10% out and diversify. Put it into gold or silver. That's what I do. Now, it may not be right for you. I'm not a financial advisor. You figure it out on your own. But please call them today. Please. I know these things. These are the kinds of things. There's somebody right now, and it's probably you, that is saying, I got to do that today. And then you don't do it. Please do it right now. It takes one quick phone call. All you do is you call them at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Just ask them for all of the information. They'll send it to you. You'll be able to read it. Do your own homework. That's the way you have to do things. You're smart enough to figure it out on your own. 10% of what you have saved, just so when the crap hits the fan, somebody has something left. Goldline, goldline.com, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. So here is Congresswoman Tlaib. Yesterday, and I want to play first her call for a new minimum wage. Now, we just found out that last week, Bernie Sanders gave all of his people a $15 minimum wage because they said what they were working for just wasn't enough. He said, okay, you know what? I'm going to raise everybody to the $15 minimum wage because that's what I believe anyway Americans should do. Now, by the way, now that you only, you know, you're making $15 an hour, I just want you to know I can't afford everybody to work 6 days a week. So everybody works 5 days a week. You know, so what do you, so wait a minute. Hang on just a second. So now they have to get done all the stuff that they were doing before, but they have to do it in 5 days as opposed to 6 days. And that doesn't help their financial situation. What he's saying is now you have time to go get a second job. He also let some people go, and some people walked out and said, you're crazy. Now I have to accomplish this in 5 days as opposed to six? No, thank you. It doesn't work. When we say what's going to happen is the companies can't afford that, so they will lay people off or they will cut back on the days. The left always says, that's crazy. That won't happen. They have the money. Well, doesn't Bernie, doesn't he have millions of dollars in the bank? Doesn't he have the money? Why isn't he doing it? Because the math doesn't work. So we just had Bernie Sanders, the king of socialism, prove that just the $15 an hour minimum wage mandate doesn't work. And here's what Rashid Tlaib learned from that.
Can't allow people to be living off of tips, you know, relying on tip wages. It's just not, or whatever they call it, tipped income, because it's just not enough to support our families. But I also want to always tell a story because big bites like this one, $15. By the way, when we started it, it should have been $15. Now I think it should be $20. Picture America rising here. It should be $20. No, it should be $20 an hour.
$20, $20 right here, $25 there. Thank you, Mary.
Who wants 30? Who's got 30?
I can tell you, milk has gone up. Eggs has gone up.
Okay, stop.
All right. Oh, God, I can't take it.
Stop. That's why... If you were serious in Congress about a minimum wage, you would attach it to the fundamental market. You would attach it to the cost of living. But you shouldn't do that as the federal government, because $15 an hour is death money practically in New York City. But if I was paying somebody $15 an hour in the middle of Idaho or on a ranch in Arizona, that's a lot of money. And, you know, if you're going to do it, it should be state or locally, and it should be attached to the cost of living. That way we don't need anybody to tell us, you need me to change that.
Right. It takes them out of it.
Right. They're not serious. They're not serious. So it always gives them an axe. So they started doing this $15 an hour. Well, you know, when we started it, it was 15 and that was fine. But now it's $20. It should be $20. But we'll settle for 15 as soon as they get 15. It should be 20. And you need me to fight for you because I was the person that got the 15.
What if they get 20? What will happen?
25. Mm-hmm. It's an auction.
Exactly. And it's funny because the blessing of the squad, as it were, is they make every argument conservatives have been making forever in full color. What do we say when people were like, oh, you know what? It should go from $7 to $10 an hour. We would say, what's next? $15, $20 an hour? And they'd say, no, we're talking common sense solutions.
Right.
The second they have power, what is it? $15, $20 an hour. There is no...
There's no limit.
There's no end to it. There's no limit to that principle. It's just ever escalating.
So I want to show you exactly kind of what Stu said, that they're saying things right out in the open. And if you remember right, I said while I was on Fox, they want to tell you. They're dying to tell you who they are because they believe you're wrong and they're right. So they're dying to tell you that they are socialists. Well, they are saying it now. They're saying it. Do you remember what happened when anyone said anything about socialism? It was racist to claim someone was a socialist. It was scaremongering to call someone a socialist. It was ridiculous to call somebody a socialist. That was the most benign. You're just ridiculous. They're not socialist. Yeah, they are. They're talking about redistribution of wealth. That is a Marxist socialist idea. That's ridiculous. That's hate monger. That's scaremongering. That's racist. If you remember, the first time that I really ever heard anyone in my lifetime, because I don't really remember Jimmy Carter, who was a serious candidate, talk about things that had Marxist undertones, was this exchange. In 2000, I think it was 2008, October of 2008, I believe, when a guy named Joe the Plumber finally got a chance to talk to Barack Obama. Listen.
I mean, one way of looking at it is now that you've become more successful.
Through hard work,
you don't want to be taxed as much.
Exactly.
Which I understand. But another way of looking at it is 95% of folks who are making less than $250, they may be working hard too.
Yeah.
But they're being taxed at a higher rate than they would be under mine. So what I'm doing is, you know, put yourself back 10 years ago when you were only making whatever, 60 or 70. Under my tax plan, you would be keeping more of your paycheck. You'd be having lower taxes, which means that you would have saved and gotten to the point where you are faster. My attitude is that if the economy is good for folks from the bottom up, it's going to be good for everybody. If you've got a plumbing business, you're going to be better off if you've got a whole bunch of customers who can afford to hire you. And right now, everybody's so pinched that business is bad for everybody. And I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
That was the key. I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody. He's a socialist. He's talking Marxist ideology. That's racist to even say that. How ridiculous. He only cares about people. I'm telling you now, if you don't pay attention, you're going to have socialists in the government and they are going to be coming out of the woodwork. And there's going to come a time when they're not afraid to say they're socialist. That's crazy. You're a danger. How dare you? You're just trying to whip people up into a frenzy. Let me take you to the audio yesterday of Democratic socialist Rashida Tlaib.
So recently I introduced the Boost Act. This legislation completely repeals the GOP tax scam that is only helping wealthy individuals, the rich, the corporations. And do you know what I did with that money? Do you know what I said? Mm-mm. We're going to go ahead and put it into the pockets of folks like everyday Americans. If you make less than $100,000, you're going to get up to $6,000 in your pocket. And if you make less than $50,000, you're going to get $3,000. That's what we do with our public dollars. We give it back to the people that earned it.
Hang on just a second. That's what we do with our public dollars. Stu, can you tell me what product the United States government is now selling? Yeah, because they have public dollars, dollars that the government has earned.
They built
those,
that.
Those would be the public dollars, I would assume, because those dollars all came from private individuals and private corporations that they tax. So those could not be public dollars.
I will say they did print them, though. So
maybe they're just all printed. Yes.
We printed them. They're ours. They're ours. We're letting you borrow them.
Right. Yeah, sure. Mm. Okay. So she's talking about the public's money now that the government has taken. Now, the government is supposed to take it for things like the common defense. They take these things. And then now they're talking about redistributing them to other people. We, quote, take from the rich and give it back to the people that earned it. How can you possibly take money away from somebody and claim someone else earned it unless you're the police and the guy who had the money was a bank robber? The people who have the money earned the money. That's not the way a socialist sees it. But you'll notice when Joe the Plumber got Obama to be even close to socialism, it riled people. Now we're so dead inside to this, they've unmasked themselves that a Democratic socialist can tell you exactly what she's planning on doing. And AOC can actually introduce a green bill that has nothing to do with the environment and has everything to do with, and I'm practically quoting from it, end the free market system. And nobody seems to care anymore. Except the media. The media still says these women are not socialist, and technically they're right. They're democratic socialists. It's a rather remarkable time in our country. Unemployment is at historic lows. Mortgage rates are as well. And the housing market is stabilized. It makes a sense to sell your home or even buy a home. If you're considering buying or selling, please check out realestateagentsitrust.com. Don't take me at my word on this. These are real estate agents that I trust. You have to do your own homework and see if you trust them. See, just email us and tell us where you are, what you're looking for. And within usually 10 minutes, a real estate agent from that area, your area, an expert in your area, will call you or they will contact you via email. And then you interview them. Why should I hire you? This is really important. We don't do that. What's your plan to sell my home? This is your biggest investment. This is my company, and my team has worked diligently every day to ensure that our agents live up to their promise to best serve you with your biggest investment. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Get moving now. Realestateagentsitrust.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID.
I'm amazed. Can we play that Rashida Tlaib audio of her tax plan where people with $100,000 are going to get $6,000 back? Can we play that one more time?
So recently I introduced the Boost Act. This legislation completely repeals the GOP tax scam that is only helping wealthy individuals, the rich, the corporations. And do you know what I did with that money? Do you know what I said?
What?
We're going to go ahead and put it into the pockets of folks like everyday Americans. If you make less than $100,000, you're going to get up to $6,000 in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And if you make less than $50,000, you're going to get $3,000.
Okay,
that's
stop.
What we do.
So this is interesting. This is a trick that the media uses all the time when they talk about GOP tax plans.
Mm-hmm.
What they say is that the benefits go disproportionately to the rich. This is something you'll hear all the time, and mainstream media will parrot it as if it's completely true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What they're doing here is something that you can do to the democratic socialist you just heard speak, which is there are two people, one rich person making $100,000 and one poor person making $50,000.
Why doesn't the poor person get $6,000
right.
and the rich person get three?
So if you take those two together, you have $9,000 of tax breaks, which go 2/3 of that. Go to the rich person, disproportionately benefiting the wealthy. This is something you'll hear not from just Democrats, but every freaking mainstream media person who just act as if they don't understand what percentages are. For this particular news story, I'm denying percentages. We don't know how they work. Sure, the percentage for the tax break for the rich person is less than the tax break for the middle class person or the poorer person. In fact, that poor person might not even be paying taxes at all. But let's look at the overall total amount. So if someone's paying $10 million in taxes and now they're paying 9.9, they're getting $100,000 in tax breaks, where someone who's making $50,000 is only getting a $5,000 tax break. That's a 20 times the benefit to the rich person. Now, we all understand that percentages are going to take into effect how much they're paying. They're paying much larger amounts overall. So any tax break at all for someone who's making more would be, you know, disproportionate in that view. And you can even do it to Rashida Tlaib. That's how dumb of a point it is.
So, in other words, what you're saying is we should begin to ask Rashida Tlaib and others why their tax breaks benefit disproportionately the rich as opposed to the poor.
Yeah, because it's the exact same point the media makes against every Republican tax proposal, no matter what it says. This is the same thing. You can easily do this. I mean, and when you can do it to someone who is... The reason we're playing this clip is not because of this point. The reason we're playing this clip is because she's saying she's taking money from the rich to give it to the people who earned it that are poor. And I, again, like you, to follow the logic, it's insane, which is why we're playing the clip. But when you can apply that to a socialist, it shows how ridiculous the point is. It shows that every person in the mainstream media that does it and says those things knows what they're doing. In reality, they all understand what a percentage is. They're doing it intentionally to mislead you to believe that tax plans are evil and just out to benefit oil executives.
Well, yeah, and here's the key. Socialists never make sense. You can never get it down to be, you know, dollars and cents. Show me how this works. You can never get it there because it doesn't work. And we're seeing this with all of these socialist and postmodern theories of there is no gender. Well, hang on. How about this? How about the woman who doesn't want to wax the Mitt Romney of, you know, of a transgendered female? What about that? Well, that's just you're being ridiculous. No, it. That's what's happening. So it always breaks down at the end because the logic is not sound. That's why nobody wants to teach critical thinking in school anymore. Because if you teach kids how to think, not what to think, how to think, they'll see through this bullcrap in a heartbeat. Back in a minute.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Did you know that it takes police 45 minutes to respond to a home security alarm? almost an hour. Now, that's not because we have crappy police department. By the way, I've got to talk about the police in New York that are being hosed by people just throwing water on them and water balloons and junk at them. This is outrageous. Thank you, Bill de Blasio. But anyway, it's not because the police aren't doing it. It's because that's the way the system works. People understand that most times a home security alarm goes off, it's a false alarm. And so it goes to the bottom. It takes about 45 minutes. However, if you have an HD security camera and a service like SimpliSafe that is going to monitor when it trips, the security camera goes on, is this a break-in? They can verify. So when they call police, your response time goes from 45 minutes to 7 minutes. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com, the best in the business. And you can get a free HD security camera when you order right now, $100 value. And it's only $15 a month for the round-the-clock monitoring. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com, SimpliSafeBeck.com.
BlazeTV.com/Glenn is the place to go. Use the promo code Glenn. Get $10 off. Watch the Ilhan Omar special. It airs tomorrow night. Don't miss it.
We have Stephen Kent. He is a spokesperson from Young Voices. He's also the host of Beltway Banthas podcast, which I am appearing on in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about that perhaps if we have time. But he's responding to a Huffington Post story, Behold the Millennial Nuns. Welcome, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. So tell me about the story from Huffington Post.
Yeah, well, I think we both read it, mm-hmm. and this story in the Huffington Post by Eve Fairbanks sort of chronicles this young woman looking at her friend group growing up, all becoming more religious over time, and not only becoming more religious, but becoming Catholic, and then a large amount of them seeking out the life of nuns. And this is in a group of like social media influencer type girls who travel the world, they're lifestyle Instagrammers, they're bloggers, they're the kind who kind of like wear their faith on their sleeve mm-hmm. and do it very loudly and proudly, but really seeking out a life of really rigid boundaries in a way that you just wouldn't expect. You wouldn't really expect this from millennials, right? Mm-hmm. But it turns out, and Eve Fairbanks looks into this, that numbers are rising across the country, that people seeking out the life of nuns is actually dramatically higher than it was years before. And the average age is 24. Blew my mind, but it also makes perfect sense.
Why does it make sense?
Well, you said this on my podcast over the weekend, that young people are starving for truth. Mm-hmm. They live in a subjective world. It is a subjective generation by and large, where the world today seems to tell you that it can be whatever you want it to be and that there is nothing that is right and wrong. There mm-hmm. is no black and white. And I think that is not squaring with a certain subset of millennials who are looking for something deeper.
I think that eventually really falls into recognition of the majority of people, no matter what age. Yeah. You can live that life for a while where, you know, it's just my truth that matters. But it will cause massive pain in your life. And if you ever want to get out of it, you're going to have to recognize that there are some universal truths that are just not changed.
Yeah, there was this this girl in this study, or in this piece, that had said that when she was speaking to the Huffington Post, she said, there is nothing consistent in the secular world. It all is a moving target. Catholicism, by contrast, truth is a fact, and your obligations to other people and God cannot be trumped by personal truth. That spoke to me as well. I mean, this is sort of the thing that I deal with in my own life, with my own generation. And I think a certain part of the Protestant population, I grew up Presbyterian, and I now go to a non-denominational church. And there does seem to be, in this religious community, still a take it or leave it approach to religion, right? Pick what you want, a la carte. And it's not authentic.
And it doesn't really work.
There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
The end of the study had talked about this research that was done by the Barna Group, mm-hmm. and it showed that millennials, by and large, when they are asked about this issue, millennials of faith, they are asked about this issue, and they prefer traditional churches, they prefer cathedral settings, they prefer the preacher behind a pew as opposed to standing up and being like a motivational mm-hmm. TED Talk speaker. Mm-hmm. we're swinging backwards. I mean, I think this has everything to do with millennials like building carpenter style houses and wanting craft coffee. Mm-hmm. They don't want Keurig. They want the real thing. And some of them are going very far to find it. None is quite extreme, but I think that's the whole point. They're the OMG generation. They do everything a little bit over the top.
I think there's something to be said right now. Everything is personalized, you know, in somebody's life. You can get it exactly the way you want it.
Yeah.
I grew up in the generation where McDonald's was like, no, it's the Big Mac. That's the way we make it. You don't like it, go pound
sand. It's in the heating lamp.
Our Big Macs yesterday were very customized, yeah. I would like to say.
That's just the way it was growing up because we were still in the, you know, the mass production, you know, world where we thought mass production was great because, you know, 100 years before it hadn't been mass production. Well, now that we've had mass production, now we're looking for things that are unique and customizable and uniquely us. The idea of swinging back to the old world, I think, starts there. Is something handmade? Is it for the individual? That kind of stuff makes a difference. And it goes back to making things by hand or being quiet. When the world is screaming, there's going to be a yearning for a quiet place. When everything is loud and vibrant, there's something to a big, dark cathedral that is absolutely silent.
I mean, it would also speak to the rise in yoga and meditation as being something that people are seeking out. They're tired. They're everywhere they go. They're stimulated, and people don't have the discipline now in their daily lives to actually be in a place of quiet.
There's not. I was thinking about this the other day because I think we are at the. I think we're approaching the moment that the Beatles did Revolution, which is 1969.
Okay.
And 1969 was the year that all this nonsense just started to come apart and fall apart. And that was the year of Altamont. And there was stabbings at these peace festivals like Woodstock. We had gone through the shootings of JFK, Malcolm X, RFK, MFK, Martin Luther King. And people were sick of it. They were just sick of it. And there was this moment where the Beatles stepped out and said, you want to hold and carry around pictures of Chairman Mao? We want to change your head anyhow. No one will follow you. And they made a statement of, you know what? We're not with you. And that one iconic band, even though they had all of this music that was supporting this debauchery, which they don't have now. There is no cultural, there's no cultural tie that ties all of this progressivism and nonsense of how many genders there are. There's no iconic look or music, you know, like there was in the 1960s. The one thing that accompanied the change was a revival of the churches. There was the Jesus movement, and it didn't go back to the cathedrals. It went to, hey, you know, Jesus is a cool guy, and Jesus, that was a good example.
Changed my relationship status to in a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, right. And that's the one thing that's missing. When that starts to happen, I think it will officially be on the downslope of this insanity.
Yeah. I mean, I just relate with this entire thing, you know, where I've been on the search for my own church for the past 10 years since I left home. I'm 29. So I went to college, fell out of church, then tried to get back in, but started going to sort of these like rock band churches, right? Where it's like a TED talk and then there's bands playing. I just felt oppressed by the cheese. I couldn't do it. And I've just found myself over the time just longing for my Presbyterian church growing up where they sang hymns, right? Mm-hmm. And you were like the only young person in the pew.
They didn't have any projectors to show you the words on the screen.
Yeah. Like, and I thought I was an outlier But this entire piece in the HuffPost says that is actually a trend right now that is swinging.
It's really strange because my faith, if we don't have projectors, it's against rules to use projectors.
Yeah, you talk very traditional, right?
Very traditional. Mm-hmm. All old hymns. It's an organ. I mean, it is as traditional as it comes. And a lot of people in my faith are like, Can we
turn the lights on? Is that possible?
Yeah, could we have heat? I mean, and this whole thing has come and gone, or is starting to wane,
yeah,
of the big, loud churches. And I like occasionally going in. I mean, yeah, go to
I'm not
Gateway.
As negative as on it, but like, I think that's the whole point, right? Like,
but there's good the choice, ones and bad ones.
Yeah, the choice is important, right? I think there's some things that it depends on what serves you best, right? Yeah. What furthers the end mission.
And you go to a really good one, though. You go to a really good. Gateway is a good.
The particular music.
And
is
your
really
past
good.
Guest, Mark Batterson, I used to go to his churches when I lived in Washington, D.C. Fantastic. Yeah, really great balance. And that actually was not necessarily the rock band style churches,
right,
the TED Talk speaker. It was the movie theater church. Mm. And I actually really liked that. I connected with it. Just being right there, seat to seat next to everybody. It was very cool. That was a model that worked for me.
A lot of people are going to Church's Chicken here in Texas, which is...
It's where I get all of my religious experiences.
There's no preaching, but...
Jesus, this is good chicken. Okay.
A little different.
Stephen, it's good to talk to you. Good to have you.
Wait, before you go, Star Wars.
What about it?
So we have... Your podcast is about Star Wars and politics, like the fusion, intersection of those. What is happening? We have the ninth Star Wars coming out.
Mm-hmm.
This is back to J.J. Abrams, right?
It is.
Give us a little rundown of the news of Star Wars, because it's really, I care about it much more than anything.
Okay, Star Wars news. Here we go. All right, so this movie is coming out December 20th, Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. It is going to be good, I think. If you're trying to come out of the Last Jedi downturn, we're going to end with J.J. Abrams back at the helm as a cinematic guy. And we are going to get a more basic approach to Star Wars, I think, that actually rounds this all down. Now, what I want to say is that I'm not nearly excited about Episode 9 as I am about what's coming out on Disney Plus, the new Disney equivalent of Netflix here in November. The Mandalorian. How many people in your audience grew up wanting that Boba Fett movie? To be the bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now you're going to get it, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. The Mandalorian stars Pablo Pascal from Game of Thrones. And it's going to be an Old West style sort of desert flick where the Mandalorian bounty hunter, unnamed at this point, is roaming an Imperial owned planet to hunt down sort of like people deserting the Empire.
Oh, right? I'm all in on this.
I mean, that's all that you need from Star Wars.
I'm going to have to get
point.
Another subscription. I'll cancel the Blaze.
Yeah, okay. That's all that you need.
That's amazing. That one sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not Boba Fett per se, but it is a bounty hunter
movie.
Yeah,
just another Mandalorian.
All right.
Yeah.
And you said the guy who did, Rian Johnson did the last one.
He was slated for his own trilogy that was going to start in a brand new timeline, not involve Skywalkers. There were rumors it might be the Old Republic, where you had like Jedi armies and Sith armies.
Mm-hmm.
But Disney went back on the agreement, and they have actually moved away from doing another movie with Rian Johnson.
Why?
You just have to assume that The Last Jedi just was
sucked.
It was so tough.
So many people. So is this do we know is this the last of the original story?
That is what they say, right? But kind of they always say this about different movies.
Right.
Like, no, we are done with this. JK, 5 years later, there'll be another one.
Right.
But they have been very clear that the Skywalker story, as we know it, That's the standout quote. Mm-hmm. As we know it, is over after Episode 9.
Well, who's left?
There is no one left, right? And that,
so it
and
kind
that,
of really...
But,
it
that,
ended
goes,
last
but
time.
That goes to the whole name, The Rise of Skywalker. Who are they talking about? Mm-hmm. And then I have my theory. Would you like to hear it?
Can I take a break and come back? I got to take a break.
I don't know. Do we want a theory, though? I feel like sometimes...
I love theories. Right, I love theories.
Glenn loves it.
One minute. Hang on. It's American Financing. Right now, anyone who has a mortgage or is buying a home has incredible opportunities in front of them. Interest rates dropping again. We have a chance to lock up a fixed rate, low interest mortgage. Let's think about this. If you have a mortgage over 4% or you're in a variable rate loan, you need to call American Financing for a mortgage review. Just a 10-minute phone call can save you tens of thousands of dollars over the term of your loan. look at the entire financial picture. What bills are you paying? What could be consolidated or paid off? Trust American Financing to make sure you get the right loan for your family. But I caution you, get your financial house in order now. These financial rates, I mean, I have no idea. These rates could go away at any time. Data now shows that mortgage rates are so low that almost 6 million borrowers can save money with a mortgage refi. Family owned and operated, they only employ salary-based mortgage consultants who work for you and not the bank. So call American Financing now at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
All right. Give us Stephen Kent, Young Voices, host of Beltway Banff, this podcast. Who is the last Skywalker?
Well, the rise of Skywalker, I believe, is going to be about the class of a new kind of Force user. A year ago, we convened on your show to talk about the possibility of a gray Jedi. This sort of goes back to old Star Wars myth that there would be somebody who could walk between the light and the dark. And we were like, we don't know about that. That sounds kind of subjective, right? Like Disney's Disney's doing away with good and evil. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the theory goes that Rey is going to walk away from all of this with Kylo, with the ancient texts of the Jedi, and be able to form a new class of Force user called Skywalkers. This actually has roots back in old Star Wars books that are no longer factual or no longer canon, as they say. The Skywalker will be its own class of Force user, and that will blend both the good of the light and part of the good sides of the dark.
The good sides of the dark.
Yeah, the good sides of the dark.
Sounds like a being democratic socialist.
Yeah, being able to use your emotions, right? And that's kind of what undermines the Jedi so often, is that they're walled off from feeling and walled off from emotion. And that's what the dark side preaches to excess.
I thought it was ends justify the means sometimes.
Well, that's what we don't know, right?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be people who actually save lives but can act. Because then you have the good side of the dark side and the good of the good.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the light side.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, again, that's
Mark Hamill critique right there. Because, I mean, you root for the guy, but it's just...
It's tough.
I mean, especially in that original three, which are like...
Well, I had a hard time when they had Carrie Fisher out in space. I wanted her just to float away.
The government is not coming for your guns. No. Mark Hamill is coming for your guns.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. Don't forget, tomorrow, our special, our one-hour special on Ilhan Omar, tomorrow at 5, only on blazetv.com/Glenn. Sign up now, use the promo code Glenn, and you're going to save 10%. blazetv.com/Glenn.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.